Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And it is actually Saturday evening at 10 o'clock East Coast time. We're recording a little bit early this week just because I've got to get out of town tomorrow and couldn't do the show tomorrow. So no interactive chat room for this evening. It'll just be myself and the great Tim McLeod talking. And we're going to be talking about starting pitching. We kind of got cut off last week, a little technical issues. I'm hoping we won't have issues this week. We're going to just plow through the rest of those starting pitchers. I'm not sure where we even left off. We'll probably start around 30, 31, and then continue looking for those guys that we like more than others, maybe some sleepers that are out there. And then next week, we will be finishing off our draft preview by talking closers. And then that'll wrap up the draft preparations, at least from a drafting standpoint. We'll be then talking about strategies. We'll be getting into our sleepers, guys that we really like more than others, and then really getting into those deep sleepers, those guys that nobody else is really talking about, and maybe somebody that we think who might actually break out this year and do something. I've already kind of gone out with one of my guys, and that being Ryan McMahon. And people are saying, well, that's not such a big sleeper. He's probably got the first base job, not 6 to 8 weeks ago when I called it. So, but there's still going to be plenty of those guys that are out there. If you want to get a hold of us and support the show, there's a couple ways that you can do that. First of all, get a hold of me at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361 on Twitter. Of course, the great Tim McLeod at TimothyLMC, at TimothyLMC. And of course, you can both read our writings over at Prospect361.com. If you go out there and you want to support us, you can do that a bunch of ways. We have on our site, on the right-hand corner, our sponsors, you can go out and visit. We have three that are currently running promotions with us. The first is StubHub. There's no discount for StubHub, but if you go there, we get a little bit of credit, and that you can support the show that way. Second way is through MLB Sports. You get discounts by going through that, hats, jerseys, all that kind of good stuff. And, of course, Steiner Sports. You can actually go directly to Steiner Sports and type in Prospect 361 at checkout and get 15% off for simple on our site. And those are three ways that you can support the show. So you guys know we don't charge for any of our content. And if you do that, we would highly, highly appreciate it. And if you want to go out and rate and review us, you can do that on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you want. And we'd appreciate that as well. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, good evening.
Good evening, Rich. How am I sounding this evening?
So far, so good, Timmy. How's life?
Interesting, Rich. Quick story to demonstrate, once again, my techno prowess, okay? 5 minutes
to
nine, I'm sitting down at my computer, okay, getting ready to fire things up, looking for your email, and nothing's happening. I hit the power button. Nothing's happening. Oh, no. What are we going to do next? So I'm trying to think, what could I have done that would totally shut down my computer? And then I remembered, Rich, I cleaned my desk today. And when I cleaned my desk, I pulled the power cord out accidentally.
Oh. Wow.
Yes, I did it again, Rich. Scrambling at the last second, I got power and we got hooked up. But it was just such a Tim thing. I had to relate it to you.
I find this fascinating. You actually sit at a desk and work.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Two
wings on it and paperwork all over the place. It's organized chaos.
You know, I don't, Timmy. I sit on my couch or on a chair, and I prop my my laptop out, I'm usually staring at the television, not paying attention, and I'm typing away. I never have any paper in front of me. Never.
I've got enough to supply probably a small country, Rich, stacked up on all sides of me. I'm the epitome of old school. What can I say?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because they say you're supposed to take notes by, you know, writing them down. And I do that when I go to games because you remember more when you write them down and, you know, in longhand as opposed to typing on the computer. And maybe that was an old school kind of way to do it, but I still do that when I go out and scout games. But like just doing, writing my notes up, everything by then is all entered online, and I'm just copying and pasting stuff, and that's just how I do it. I just don't write stuff, Tim.
Well, you've seen my blocked apps, and every show it's blocked capitals.
Yeah. So, Timmy, so any drafts this week?
Let me see here. I'm partaking right now in the Great Fantasy Invitational. It's much like the old FSWA drafts. Justin Mason's got it all set up, and I think there's 12 or 13 leagues, and each league's independent, and you're playing for an overall. And I'm partnered up with Ian Conn in that one. We're doing that one. And I did a CBS 12-team mixed auction on Thursday, Rich.
Oh, good, good. 12-team, that's interesting. Don't do many 12 teams anymore.
No, it's sort of like the Wild West. Everybody just shooting from the hip and, trying to put together a team, ridiculous amounts being spent here and there, and then bargains all over the place at the end. It was a lot of fun, but I've got my schedule set up for the next 5 weeks, and we're going to have podcasts from Thunder Bay, Hanover, Pennsylvania, Montreal, Quebec, North Bay, Ontario, and it looks like London, Ontario over the next 5 weeks, Rich, so it should be fun.
Well, that's awesome, Timmy. I would like to drill into your 12-team auction if I could, because I think this is a relevant point. Because I've always found that 12-team auction mixed, it is like the Wild Wild West. I mean, you have to bid up so high on players that there's so much value at the end. Is it better to try to bid up those players early on or collect in the end on bargains?
Well, I sort of – either approach will work. I was one of the first ones finished. Okay, and I didn't spend all my cash. I got the guys I wanted to, and if you give me a second, I'll just pull up some of the dollar values. I was happy with my results, but like I said, I left money on the table, so that's generally as a rule not a good thing, is it?
No, it's not. So, who's your big guy? Who'd you spend the most on?
Well, in I think if I'm not mistaken, I had three big guys that I spent $27 on each. And they are on
live radio here, Timmy. It's live radio. Anytime you want to bring that up, Timmy, that would be good.
boot you heathen computer. Yes, okay. Now all I got to do is, you know what, there's 12 teams here, right?
Uh-huh.
As I'm looking down, this, mine's going to be the 12th one, isn't it, as I scroll down?
Yep.
No, it was 10th. I spent the most money on Jose Abreu at 27, Tommy Pham at 27, Ben Attendi at 27. Sorry, my big buy was Strasburg at 29.
Interesting. Another league that you get Strasburg in. So you didn't really go for any legitimate first or even, well, Benatendi might be a second round guy, but probably in a 12-team league, a third round guy.
Yeah, I ended up with a lot of the middle, Rich, like Scope for 18. Kyle Seager's my third baseman for $4. I spent 14 on Ozzie Albies, 6 on Smoke, 9 on Ian Happ, 5 on Mazzaro. Got to have Mazzaro on all my teams.
Of course. Of course, Tim. I'm surprised you didn't spend 90 on Mazzaro.
Zero's probably missing. It's got to be a typo.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But Manny, Manny Margot for $6, Josh Bell for $4, Trevor Bauer for $9.
So, but other people had to be spending like wildly for like Mike Trout and Jose Altuve. So it seems like you took more of a, I'm going to let the first two rounds go to somebody else, and I'm going to try to load up on a bunch of third through seventh round guys.
Yeah, that's basically the approach I took. Oh, just to give you an idea, Jose Altuve, Rich, 55.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm assuming, what was it, a $300 budget or 260?
260. Trey Turner, 51. I'm trying to find Trout, but Chris Bryant was 40. Charlie Blackman was 44. That was just too much for me. I'd rather focus on the mid-tiers. Bryce Harper at 48.
Yeah, I'm not sure 260. I'm not sure 260 is the right number in a 12-team mix. I think it skews everything because those are big. I mean, you're spending, you know, $50. You're spending 20% of your budget on Jose Altuve. I don't know, Timmy. It seems like Jose Altuve should go for 85 or something like that in that kind of format.
Well, there has to be a limit somewhere. You're spending 20% of your budget on one player. But again, Trout went for $60 even.
Yeah. Yeah. So fascinating. So the great Tim McLeod is saying in a 12-team mix auction, avoid the first two rounds essentially and come in on the third through the seventh round and clean up there. It's a very interesting approach. I hope it works out for you, Tim. You have to tell us once we get working in the season how that team is going to work out.
Yeah, I'm sort of curious too, because like I said, it was a little, usually I spend like a drunken sailor, but I just thought, man, that's just too much. I'm going to go after the middle rounds and see how it works out. So
yeah.
It'll be fun. Got to try something different.
And definitely, it'd be interesting. You should, at the end of the season, you should write about some of these leagues and like how the strategy worked and did it work? And or were you scrambling the whole year at the waiver wire, which you know you're going to kill in anyway? So you might take a bad draft and turn it into a good season, but it'll be interesting some of these different approaches you're taking, like what worked and what didn't, and then be able to tell the listeners and readers kind of, you know, to be able to learn from that.
Yeah, I think that's just a wonderful idea, Rich. It's on my list. How's that?
That's good. It doesn't have to be long articles to say, yeah, I did this approach. It didn't work. Don't ever do that again.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the bulk of, I think, our listeners are into draft leagues. I try and share as much information as I get as we go along. Like, you know, especially when it comes to things like, I think the outfield's going to be a problem this year.
Mm-hmm.
Speed is going to be a challenge after the first couple rounds. I think that information is very, very relevant and important, but definitely the auction game is not my strongest game. I like a draft. I really do. And the shorter the time on that draft, the better off I am.
Yeah, I used to be all about drafts and, excuse me, all about auctions. And I spent a lot of time on figuring out the dollar amounts because if done properly and you have the right amount of draft budget going, It is all about value at the draft table. If Mike Trout goes for $50, but he returns, $75 in that kind of format, then of course you're going to win. And if you do that pretty much with every player, you have a good chance of winning. And the obviously the reverse is true. So it is really a value game. But if it's 260 and the values then aren't right set right by CBS when you go into it, it can really throw off the game because you have to kind of, unless everybody knows what a real Mike Trout's value is in a 12-team auction mixed league, then it becomes really hard to figure that out.
Well, yeah, and it's much like draft leagues, Rich. Okay, mm-hmm. we all do online drafts, right? 12, mm-hmm. 15 team, and we snake up and we snake back, right? Pretty standard stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we also have sitting right in front of us the host site's rankings, ADPs. Mm-hmm. All of that information is sitting right there. How much does that information in fact, skew and alter the results of a draft. What I would love to do at some point in time, because I think it would be an absolute blast, I would like to do a live draft with nothing but your own information in front of you, no laptops, no site, do it on Google, do it whatever, but do a live draft with no outside interference or outside information skewing things. And I think it'd be fascinating to see how it actually works out, because I'm convinced that those ADPs that we see on Fantrax and CBS and the player listings, and when you scroll down, you say, oh my good Lord, there's a player at 60 that hasn't been drafted, and we're at pick 120. I think all of those influence the outcome.
Well, first of all, Tim, I think you said a lot there. I want to comment a couple of ways. One is, you're absolutely right. And knowing the software, that's why you got to do mock drafts on the software that you're doing your real draft on, because most people are not going to take the time to go through and rank all of the players. And you have to know that if I want Ian Happ on my team, and Ian Happ goes and couch managers and other kind of draft tools, or it goes in ESPN and I get him in the seventh round because that's where they've ranked him, then I know I've got to take him probably in the sixth round to get him. But if CBS has got him ranked in the ninth or tenth round, I know I can wait a little bit, because that's the way most of the people are going to draft. They're going to use the draft systems that are out there, unless you're a really, really serious player, an experienced player. But let's face it, Tim, you get to a 12 or 15 league team league, and you have two or three people that are really, really into it, a bunch of people in the middle, and a bunch of other people who don't care. And not enough people are going to take the time to rank every player, and they're going to rely on where they can get guys.
Well, exactly. I think the deluge of information that is available to us, it's softened us up, Rich. It really has. It's not, and you know, I'm going to sound like my grandfather here, but I can remember when I went to drafts and I walked uphill in both of them, into the wind, yeah, with snow.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You know, in terms of doing a live draft with nothing in front of you, to me, you just, why not just put all the players alphabetical? Here's your, you know, here's, you can do them by position if you want, you know, just so I can, because I can't remember 800 players. So, I mean, I think that would be fair to, so at least I can look down the first base, but they're not in any rank order. You are forced to do the ranking. If you decide not to, then you're just going where you think, you know, where you want them. And I think that would be a fascinating kind of draft. I don't know if we could ever do one like that, if any draft site would even just knock out their rankings and just put things in alphabetical order.
Yeah, you could probably do it, but again, if you're doing it online, there'd have to be a trust factor that nobody cheated and had four laptops open, right?
Yeah, I mean that's true. But even if they decided to go to, let's say we're drafting out of CBS, and CBS is able to eliminate the draft, so then I open up ESPN and decide to use their rankings. Well, okay. Great.
Yeah.
That's what you decide to do, but I might be using some, but at least it's not the draft software telling me where those players are going. And Timmy, you know you do it, and you know I do it as well. Even you get deep into those things, you're starting to scroll through the through who's left on the player pool, and you go, oh wow, I really like that guy, and you start to use how they're ranked, because that's where they are in the queue.
Yeah, see, what I do is, as soon as I sit down, I've got a draft, say, tonight at 7. I'll sit down at 6 o'clock, quarter after 6, and I'll build my queue. But when I build my queue, what I'm doing is I'm going through the software, and I'm pulling out all the players that I think are undervalued and all the players that are hidden. And my queue, pray to the good Lord I don't go on to auto, because if I do, I'm going to end up with the ugliest team in the history of mankind. But I'm interested in finding the players that are buried, the players that I think are undervalued, and those are the ones that I highlight in my queue. So I have those names available as a group.
Is Mazzara in your queue?
No,
but you know you're going to get him early, so you're taking him. You have to be taking him earlier than any other than every draft software is telling you, like where they are in the CBS queue or where they are in the Fandrax queue. You're taking him early, so you're purposely scrolling down outfield and picking Mazzara.
Well, yeah, I don't have to worry about him because he sort of carved into my memory pretty good. But when you get into players like Michael Gibbons, I've been drafting him in a lot of leagues. There's pitchers that are buried in most rankings. I like to have them pulled out and available because I have them ranked higher, much higher than the sites do. And I want to have access to that group of players so I can plug them in when I think I should be drafting them.
Well, so I find that interesting, Tim, because I do it a little differently. Maybe this is why you're a better player than me. If I really like Nomar Mazzaro, and I know that CBS has him in the 11th round, I'm making this up, I'm going to try to get, even though I think he's a 7th round pick, making that up, I like him 4 rounds better. I'm going to try to get him in the 10th round, not the 7th round, because I'm going to play that people are looking at that CBS site, and they're going, oh, I'm going to get Mazzaro in the 11th round. But I'm not going to take him 4 round early just because even though I value him there, I think the market, in this case, the CBS software, values him lower. So I think I can get an arbitrage on that. That's how I play it. Sometimes I get burned, but that's how I play it. Do you play it differently or what?
Yeah, most of the players that I like, I've got a predetermined range where I'm going to move on those guys. And I don't queue them up because my memory's still good enough that I can focus and, you know, I like Albies around the 6th. Mazzaro, I like him somewhere 7th, 8th. I'll move a bit up on Castellanos.
But if Albies, you like Albies in the 6th, but if you were working on a draft using a draft software and it had him ranked in the 9th, you wouldn't take liberty and take him a round later just because you think he'll stay out there because everybody's staring at the queue and don't see Albies yet?
If I like him enough, Rich, I don't care what it says.
Interesting.
That's
where you and I are really different on that. And I get burned sometimes. I will lose Albies because somebody is playing like you. But for the most part, I try to use the draft software to my advantage, knowing where I like a guy versus A, and then I'll try to back it up as far as I can just to get extra value.
Yeah, if I want a player bad enough, I really don't care what the rankings say. I've made up my mind where I think he's going to return value and what I believe the upside is going to be, and off we go.
Interesting. Love for people to hit us out on Twitter at RichWilsonP361 and at TimothyLMC. Give us your thought on that discussion. A fascinating discussion, two different ways to do it. Tim's definitely the better player, the safer way to do it. I'm always trying to get the greatest value and waiting for the absolute latest I can draft a guy, and I do get burned. I absolutely get burned. Love to know how everybody else is using the draft software, Tim.
Yeah, it's a fascinating discussion, but, you know, at some point in time, it would be fun just to try it without that influence in there. I'd be game to trying that, Rich.
I would too, Timmy. I mean, maybe we can find some other people on a piece of software that will, you know, I don't know how we would do it, but maybe next year that can be one of our drafts because I'm I don't know how many more drafts I can do this year. So I'm sure you're booked up as well.
Yeah, I was possibly considering reinstating a 20 team that I played for years and years and years. It was actually the first industry type league I got into, and it ceased about 5 or 6 years ago. And I was contemplating getting it going this year, Rich. But you know what? I think I've got enough on my plate.
I think I played in that league 1 year.
Yeah,
I remember that because I don't play in a lot of 20 team leagues.
Yeah, it was a short bench, small format, 20 team, but only 20 players total, 4 of which was bench, and it allowed for an active waiver wire. It was a fun league. I liked it, and I'd like to get it going at some point in time. This year might not be the year, though.
Timmy, when we get back, we are going to be talking starting pitchers. Are you ready?
Yeah, sort of.
As the great Tim McLeod scrambles for his notes on players, I've got the spreadsheet up. But Timmy, first of all, did you get a chance to catch my solo gig back on Wednesday where we talked nothing but prospects?
Actually, Rich, I didn't get a chance to catch it, but B. being, of course, the diligent pre-P361er, I did retweet your post and saw some of the positive comments. Also saw some people willing to take you out for supper and talk Breaking Bad, okay? So, like, hey, all is not lost, my friend. You do have a fan club out there, okay?
And Stu, our good buddy Stu Gutter, called me out. Stu, I was visiting Orlando, and Stu and I went out to dinner with his lovely wife, and he is absolutely correct. He called me out on that, Timmy. So correct him on that. And I've had dinner with a couple of other listeners. I mean, I was just goofing around. So as I typically do, just cause havoc. So people, I guess, take me too seriously sometimes, but that's okay. But it's a hard podcast, Timmy. It was an hour and 10 minutes of just talking prospects and literally no notes. I mean, it was literally players' names. That was it. I would glance and go, oh yeah.
I take my cap off to you, Rich, because I couldn't do that. I really couldn't. I think I work best in a situation where I'm working with other people and providing commentary. I couldn't sit in front of my monitor, I don't think, for a half an hour and carry on a conversation that works out well. And I salute people that do solo podcasts because it is not easy. It's a lot of work. It's tough. It really is.
Yeah, it's tough, and that's why I don't like to do it that often. But you know, I was in my beach house, Timmy, with the porta potty, and when I got to our beach house, which is being renovated, bathrooms are being redone. I thought we would always have one working toilet. I was okay without the shower, but I needed a toilet. And unfortunately, to take out one of the bathrooms, the contractor had to cut the line to turn off the water, and the plumber wasn't going to be there until Friday. So on Wednesday and Thursday, Timmy, I sat in a house without running water with a porta potty two houses down I was using. It was disgusting, to say the least.
they have a certain odor about them, those porta potties, don't they, Rich?
And they got that blue stuff, and I guess unfortunately it had just been cleaned the day before I started using it, so it wasn't that bad. But you know, Timmy, I wanted to only use it for the simple task, but unfortunately nature did call once and I couldn't leave. And that was pretty disgusting. It was pretty disgusting. But for the most part, I would drive into town, which is like a mile away, and pretty much go to the local grocery store, buy something, gum or Purell, and use their facilities. Took my toothbrush in there, you know, cleaned all up, and then got back over. But I was so glad to get home and take a shower. It was disgusting.
But that's awesome, Rich. You know, we're definitely from the same generation. Because I'm the same way, okay? If I'm traveling on the road and I'm driving and I have to use the facilities, I feel guilty if I don't buy a pack of gum or something. But that's the only one.
I know. It was the same way. I bought Purell once and a pack of gum the second time I was in there. So that was my shower in the Lowe's grocery store in Ocean Isle Beach. So if anybody's ever in Ocean Isle Beach and you see the Lowe's, you can laugh and tell the story that you knew a guy who was in there essentially showering in the sink, which is what I was doing.
Oh, good stuff, Rich. Good stuff.
Okay, let's start. I don't know how far we got last week before we got cut off, Timmy, but let's just start with number 31, Shohei Ohtani, and I'm going to go, which will be the third, your third pitcher. So I'm going to start with Shohei Ohtani at 31. You got Alex Wood at 32, Jose Berrios at 33, David Price at 34. Remember when David Price was a top 10 pitcher? Wow, how the mighty have fallen. Sonny Gray at 35, Jameson Taillon at 36, very, very interesting, Luke Weaver at 37, Lance McCullers at 38, Tyrone Walker 39, Jeff Samardzija at 40, Kyle Hendricks at 41, Chase Anderson at 42, John Gray 43, Danielson Lamet at 44, and Drew Pomeranz. Timmy, there are so much wonderful things in here. Now, you being half Japanese, I am shocked that Shohei Ohtani is ranked 18th, or his ADP is 18 in the NFBC, and you've got him 13 spots later at 31. What gives?
Well, It's relatively simple, Rich. I like Ohtani, and I like him a lot. But how many innings are we going to see from the guy this year? I'm thinking 140, 150. That downgrades him in my books. I think it's going to be a very good 140, 150 innings. But how do you take him ahead of a pitcher, for example, like Zach Godley, who's going to put in 200 innings? Paxton, hopefully I'll get a few more. Marcus Stroman, Trevor Bauer. How do you put him ahead of pitchers that you know are going to get 40 to 60 innings more? I just can't justify it. Now, hey, next year, that's a different story. Once the gloves come off and we start seeing closer to the 200 innings, yeah, ramp them up. But even at where I have them right now, which is at 31, that's still a pretty hefty price for a pitcher who hasn't performed in the bigs, right?
Okay, that's great logic, Timmy. Love it. Love it. Absolutely love it. David Price, to me, I mentioned top 10 pitcher, might have been last year, definitely the year before last, all the way down to 34. The NFBC has him at 29. You're a little bit, you know, south on him as opposed to where the NFBC ADPs are. But it's still David Price still has good stuff. Is it health? Is it the fact that he's just not gotten – he just hasn't fell in love with Boston, and the Boston fans haven't fallen in love with him? What's going on there?
It's about health, Rich. I'm just not comfortable that David Price is going to put in 200 innings this year. How much time did he miss last year, and did we really get – a true definition of that injury? I'm just a little bit concerned, and I'm not going to pay for the question marks.
Yeah, I mean, he came back in the bullpen when he came back at the end of the year, and you know, there's been a lot of talk that that's probably his best position is kind of the swingman, the multi-inning reliever, and he might be dominant in that role. If he is, good for him and good for the Red Sox, bad for fantasy owners.
Well, yeah, and I don't know how good it is for the Red Sox when you look at the price per hold, right?
Yeah, it's true. Fair point. Jameson Taillon, Timmy, you love some Jameson Taillon. You're 14 better from an ADP standpoint than the NFBC. Tell us why all the love for Jameson Taillon.
Well, last year he started off strong. He finished real strong. And in between, he dealt with a bout of testicular cancer. And the fact that he was able to actually return 5 weeks after the surgery was nothing short of amazing. And I really believe that the Taillon we're going to see this year is going to be the good Taillon and the healthy Taillon. And I'm willing to pay for that.
A guy, Timmy, that I've always been huge on, and you've always been a little low one, but all of a sudden I'm looking at Taijuan Walker, and you got him at 39. The NFBC has him at 58, 19 slots higher. Are you finally starting to drink the Taijuan Kool-Aid, or did you just make a mistake?
How many Ks are there in humidor, Rich?
So you really think the humidor is going
to
help? That's why you pushed them up?
Yeah, I think that change is going to make a significant difference to all of the Arizona pitchers, with the exception of Corbin, because he might not be able to find the plate enough. But any pitcher that can get it near the plate with decent stuff, it has to help. And not only did we see improvement, I think, last year at a Walker, I think we're going to see, even without the humidor, I'm anticipating growth this year. Toss a humidor into the mix, and I would bet my life that I think the NFBC has him at 58 right now. Good luck. He won't be on the board at 58. I'd bet my life on that one, Rich.
Timmy, I don't want you to bet your life on it. I love you too much. Don't bet your life on it. But
okay.
I think he will move up. Kyle Hendricks. Timmy, you got him at 41. NFBC has him at 30. People are taking him as their second pitcher off. Kyle Hendricks has done nothing over the last 2 years but pitch extremely well. Is it the lack of strikeouts that you don't like?
Yeah, it's the lack of strikeouts. And I see him more as a number three, Rich. And I think he's a fine option. But he just doesn't – I don't think there's no upside there, okay? He's relatively flat, boring sort of pick. And I've adjusted his ranking – for that accordingly. I think one thing that I should mention here, when you start looking at pitching, I think there's a definite top tier of starting pitchers. You know, your top 9-10 pitchers. Then I think there's a very, very small group of really good number twos. Okay, and after that, I think you can, for the most part, if you want to, you can throw a whole bunch of names into a hat and start pulling them out, because there is an incredible amount of sameness and pitchers that have flaws in one area or another for your next 60 starting pitchers. You can pick and choose and rationalize, I think, in any one of a number of given ways and totally justify it. There's just so much sameness from about 30 through to about 80. Does that make sense?
It does, Sammy, but you piqued my interest here. So I'm going to start starting with Kershaw. I'm going to go down. You tell me when to stop, when that elite ends. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Kershaw, Sale, Scherzer, Kluber, Bumgarner, Strasburg, Severino, Syndergaard, DeGrom.
No.
Okay, Syndergaard before DeGrom.
Yep.
Okay, so it's that top eight. Interesting. Okay, now I'm going to give you said there's a small window in there of number two guys. So I'm going to start with DeGrom, Carlos Carrasco, Zach Greinke, Carlos Martinez, Robbie Ray, Yu Darvish, Chris Archer, Justin Verlander, Aaron Nola, Dallas Keuchel, Jose Quintana, Garrett Cole, Johnny Cueto. Right there. All right, so all the way down to 20. So it's interesting. So you're saying from Cueto, Arrieta, Luis Castillo, Trevor Bauer, your love for Trevor Bauer knows no ends, Marcus Stroman, all the way down. You're saying that's a hodgepodge all the way to 60, 70 type of thing.
Well, you take a look, okay? For instance, I've got Cole Hamels at 49, okay? NFBC has him at 64. Would you be at all shocked if Cole Hamels finished at 25, 26?
Yes, I would actually. Pays for a bad team. He is 34. Did not look like the Cole Hamels we all love and know last year. And I own him in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I mean, I'm kind of bummed out about it. I think his better days are behind him. So I would be really surprised if he, finished at 49 where you have him ranked. I'm a little low man on Cole Hamels.
Yeah, see, and I'm saying, well, he had one bad year. Historically, he's been very good. I'm not ready to write him off, and I think he can bounce back.
You know, Cole Hamels donated his house?
Yeah, he did.
He gave it to, I think, a Christian organization for a camp for underprivileged children. It's like, wow.
Amazing.
That's
apparently,
cool.
Apparently, he did a lot of that in Philadelphia, Rich. He was very, very active in the community that way. Hey, two thumbs up for Cole Hamels. Absolutely.
For sure.
Excellent. You know, let's take a look. Were you surprised if he finished in the top 40?
Wait, say that again, Tim. You cut out a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Danny Salazar. I've got him at 51, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be a shock if he finished in the top 40? Ahead of Lance McCullers or Luke Weaver or Taillon?
No, I agree. I mean, you're bringing up really great points. I mean, we're going to talk about guys that we like more than others that you think are going to have a chance. And I think Taijuan Walker is one of those guys. Your argument was well found that, you know, most people will be taking him as their fourth pitcher. You're saying, no, take him as the third pitcher. And I think that's really good advice. You're saying just the opposite on Kyle Hendricks. I think that's why we talk about this stuff.
Well, yeah, here's one close to home for you, Rich. Dylan Bundy. Okay, NFBC's got him at 49. I've got him at 56. Does Dylan Bundy have it in him to finish 15 to 20 slots higher than where we have him currently ranked? I think he does.
I do too, Timmy. And boy, you know, his fielding independent pitching last year was terrible, and it caught up to him midseason, where he became a league average pitcher after an amazing start to the year. But if you take a look after that midpoint, his end of the season was pretty strong. We know the stuff is good. We know he's healthy finally. I would not be surprised if he's a top 40 pitcher at the end of the year. I agree with that.
Yeah, so again, it sort of goes back to my train of thought where there is a lot of sameness in that there are pitchers with great potential that all have flaws. And I think most of the pitchers going down this list in this group, there's a flaw somewhere. There's a question
mark.
But
isn't it our job? And isn't it, this is where your fantasy season is going to be won or lost. If you guess right on Dylan Bundy, you might win your league. If you guess wrong on Dylan Bundy, you might lose your league. And I think that's what we're here to help people is like, hey, we like these guys better than where they're going from an ADP standpoint. So take them a round or two earlier to make sure they're on your team, because we like these guys more than the others. And, you know, if you think Rich Hill, which you have at 55, the NFBC has at 20, 30, totally agree with it, because I think it is all about health.
Right.
I think it's a wasted pick for your second, third pitcher.
Yeah, Rich Hill as your number two, as your number two or a super strong number three, is not in the program for me. The guy's closing in on 40. He's 38 years old. When was the last time he pitched more than 150 innings? You know, I'd rather have Danelson Lamet 10 picks earlier. Because I think the strikeouts will be there, and I think there's some upside potential. Rich Hill, not so much.
And it's interesting. You've got Gio Gonzalez at 54, and look, Timmy, as a long time owner of Gio Gonzalez, I loved Gio Gonzalez 6-7 years ago when he always played his ADP, and then when his ADP got out there, the last two or three years he was terrible, and then last year he put it all together. I mean, do we really think he's gonna come back after the year he had last year? I'm not buying it.
No, I'm not buying it either. I rode Gio Gonzalez to a whole bunch of titles 5-6 years ago. And I bought in early, and I loved Gio. But all of a sudden, people stopped swinging at that off-speed junk at the ankles. And as soon as that happened and they forced him to come into the zone, he got smoked. And, hey, I just don't see a repeat for Gio Gonzalez. I salute him. He had a great year last year, but I'm not paying for that for what I'm considering to be a one-off.
His ERA was 2.96. His fielding independent percentage was 3.93. His xFIP was 4.24. There is a definite correction coming with Gio Gonzalez, and you know, I don't know, Timmy. I'm not taking him as my 38th, you know, in slot 38th, which is my third pitcher. I'm just not going to do it. We're doing some really good stuff here. Let's just give the fourth pitchers off the board. At 46, we have Charlie Morton. 47, Garrett Richards. 48, Danny Duffy. 49, Cole Hamels. 50, Julio Teheran. 51, Danny Salazar. 52, Alex Cobb. 50, Snell. Gio Gonzalez. 54, Rich Hill. 55. Dylan Bundy, 56, Jacob Faria at 57, Lance Lynn at 58, Steven Matz at 59, and Aaron Sanchez at 60. Well, we've talked about a lot of these guys, Timmy. Let's talk a little bit about Steven Matz. You've got him at 59, and the NFBC has him at 89. I actually don't like your ranking here because Steven Matz has never been healthy in his entire pitching career. He's just never been healthy, and the stuff is there. I don't see him starting more than 20 starts this year. I don't see why you would ever think he would start more than 20 games.
A new manager and former pitching coach that might have an influence on the situation. Yeah, I look at the pitchers that I have ranked. If you go to 89, okay. Now, you're looking at 90 on 5. You're looking at basically your fifth, sixth starting pitcher, okay? Am I going to go for upside with my 5-6 starting pitcher? Or am I going to wheel out a J.A. Happ or a Dan Straley? In my game, I'm going to go for the upside. And I'll take a bet as a number 5-6 that Matz's potential comes to fruition. It's a gamble, but I play a risky game, and The stuff is there, and if he can get in 25 starts, I think he'll earn that ranking.
Lance Lynn, Jake Arrieta, Alex Cobb, we've mentioned all of them, I think, already, Timmy. What point – I forgot what day we were going to get worried about them. It's starting to feel like we should get worried about these guys not being signed.
Yeah, I am officially at the worried stage now, Rich. Assuming that they get to camp this week, and that's a big assumption. We've got what? We got 3.5 weeks till opening day. That's starting to cut things a little bit fine. I think anything after the middle of this week, they aren't going to be starting the season on the big league team. They're going to be an extended. And something's got to give, and it's got to be quick.
I think from Monday, we are 3.5 weeks on Monday. So unless they sign tomorrow, they're not going to make it.
No, they might, simply because the first week is a 3-day week or whatever. They might get slotted in as a number five the week after, sort of thing. But anything after the middle of this week, I think is a fairly safe assumption that they're going to be skipping turns in the rotation. So start knocking them back 1 to 2 starts a week, right?
You got Aaron Sanchez at 60, ADP's at 57. Timmy, there's one guy around this area. If he can stay healthy, and it's a big if, Timmy, because his blisters have been a real problem over the last couple of years. I think this guy has a chance to far exceed his ADP, his draft position.
I totally agree. You saw the trade that we made in DL5 this past week, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. So you know where I stand on Sanchez. I'm taking a cautious approach, but if he's healthy, yeah, he could. Sanchez could very easily find himself in the top 35.
Timmy, the fifth pitcher here. And we'll do two more rounds of this, and then we'll start to talk about sleepers and so forth. 61, you got Michael Wacha. 62, Jay Happ. 63, Kenta Maeda. 64, Kevin Gausman. 65, Miles Mikolas. 66, Dan Straley. 67, your buddy Walker Buehler, without a job, by the way, but we'll talk about that. 68, Sean Manaea. 69, Eduardo Rodriguez. Your love for him shows no bounds. Jordan Montgomery next at 70. Mike Clevenger at 71. Patrick Corbin at 72, Tanner Roark at 73, Jake Odorizzi at 74, and Michael Kopech at 75. Timmy, Michael Kopech at 75. Talk to me about that. At 76, by the way, we have Lucas Giolito. You're saying Michael Kopech, you would own him over Lucas Giolito. That's big words, man.
Well, it's one spot, Rich.
I don't know what to tell you, Timmy. He's still in front of him, man. This is a guy, Lucas Giolito, has at least pitched in the big leagues. Michael Kopech hasn't pitched yet in the big leagues, and we don't know if he's going to start the year in the big leagues. He probably won't.
No, he probably won't, but I believe in Michael Kopech in a huge way. I think we see him for at least 15 starts in the second half, and I think they are going to be the right starts guy, and you're going to want to own him badly. And I'm prepared to pay a premium to have him available in the second half. I don't want him going to the reserve rounds. I want him drafted on my team, and I'll push him into my onto my bench slots and sit him there, and be very, very happy to sit him there and find something on the waiver wire to fill in the interim. Rich, I'm that bullish on Kopech. I think he could make a difference to many a fantasy team in the second half this year.
Miles Mikolas, Timmy, you've been on him since day one. I saw his outing, his opening day and spring training again. Who cares about spring training? But he didn't look very good. Tell us why you like Mikolas so much.
Well, because he pitched to an ERA of 2 in Japan. He doesn't walk anybody. I think he walked, in the 3 years he was there, he walked 23 batters each year. The velocity is good. I like the off-speed stuff. I watched enough tape. I think he's going to be a solid 4-5, and I'm willing to pay for it. If I'm wrong, I'm also willing to fess up and eat it. But I just think based on what I've seen, both in the core, raw core numbers, plus the tape I've watched, I think he can be a solid major league pitcher.
Walker Buehler, Timmy, who you know I love, 67, you have him ranked. The NFBC ADP is 97. You're telling people to take him. I mean, don't wait till the reserve round. Grab him early. Take him, Timmy. And I mean, I'm gonna set this up easy for you. Clayton Kershaw, number one. Rich Hill, number two. Alex Wood, number three. Kenta Maeda, number four. Hyunjin Ryu, number five. How in the world with these stalwarts, these healthy pitchers, Timmy, how in the world is Walker Buehler ever going to penetrate that starting rotation?
Can I move Buehler up a few slots after listening to those names? Is it possible? Will you give me a mulligan, please, please, please?
Timmy, it's a great call. It really, really is. Because, I mean, again, Kershaw, you know, missed time. Hill is going to miss time. Alex Wood was terrible in the second half. Kenta Maeda was moved to the bullpen. And Hyunjin Ryu, Timmy, hasn't been healthy for 4 years.
Yeah, you add all of that up, and you want to own Walker Buehler. You really do. Walker Buehler, everything I said about Michael Kopech, add 5 to 10 starts. How does that sound, Rich?
Yeah, and look, Michael Kopech's got a better arm than Walker Buehler by a little bit, but they both are really hard. Walker Buehler's a better pitcher. He's got better off-speed stuff than Kopech does. Kopech's bigger, stronger. Walker Buehler is 6 feet tall, but they're both going to be very, very good major league pitchers. But if you were to ask me, I mean, Kopech's probably got the higher ceiling, but they both could be number ones, number twos, Timmy.
Well, and the bottom line is, do you want to take a pitcher that I believe is going to get at least both of them a half season worth of starts? With the amount of potential that they have, do you want to sit there and wait because their ADP is 100 and take a chance on not procuring that talent? A.J. Puck is another one that I strongly believe in for this year. I think what you do is you move those guys up and you find a home for them on your bench and go to the waiver wire, run with the hot hand, and that way you're not tied up. How many leagues, when a guy like Kopech is called up, okay, if he's not sitting on a bench, how much fab is going to be spent on a guy like Kopech? And how much could you save that you can then utilize playing Chase the Closer or whatever other game that you want to play if you've already got him sitting there stashed away?
Chase the Closer. It's coming, Timmy. 76, you got Lucas Giolito. 77, Alex Reyes. 78, Matt Andreessis. 79, Rick Porcello. 80, my buddy Tyler Mahle. 81, Ronaldo Lopez. 82, Felix Hernandez. 83, Mike Minor. 84, Matt Shoemaker. 85, Marco Estrada. 86, Irvine Santana. 87, your buddy AJ Puck. 88, Colin McHugh, also a Tim favorite. CC Sabathia at 90. And the last guy that I will read as Brandon McCarthy. Timmy, Alex Reyes, when does he make his first start? Emphasis on the word start.
August, if he does it that.
Oh, ouch. Ouch. Tell me why, Timmy.
Well, I think they're going to work him back in slowly, and I think they're going to work him in through the bullpen. You look at the bullpen, it's a nice fit too, isn't it? The Cards bullpen isn't exactly loaded for bear, so I just think he's going to spend most of his time in the bullpen. They don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize Alex Reyes' future. And if they do get him into the rotation, if they take the opposite approach, get him into the rotation early, they'll have him shut down probably in August. Is that what they want?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm thinking about the St. Louis Cardinals bullpen. To me, it reminds me of the Washington bullpen last year that didn't have, I mean, they trained Blake Trainer, my buddy Coda Glover. They didn't have anybody there, and they imploded for the first 2 or 3 months of the season. Luke Gregerson, Timmy, is a fine pitcher, but he has never been a closer. Tyler Lyons has never been a closer. I mean, Brett Cecil, nice loogie maybe. I mean, Bud Norris was a closer for the – I forgot who it was last year – for a little bit. That is a patchwork in progress. It seems like it screams somebody to come in and take over that closer role. If they don't want to bring in Holland, why not Alex Reyes?
Well, yeah, I just think that is – my gut feeling is that's how it's going to shake down. And I could be wrong, but – the year you want to own Alex Reyes or start owning Alex Reyes in redraft leagues is not 2018, it's 2019, Rich.
I have a tendency to agree with you on that. AJ Puck, you've already shared your love for that. Brandon McCarthy, interesting. You like him. He's 90 and 119. I know you could say, well, it's not that, but this is a guy to talk about. You like him. It's another guy that when healthy, he's been able to pitch pretty well. He's never been healthy. Now with the Braves, though.
Yeah, it's, you know, any team, okay, any pitcher, okay, that has Ozzy Albies, okay, supporting him on offense has to get a boost from me, Rich, at least a small one, right?
Timmy, when we get back, we're going to talk about sleepers in the pitching ranks. Content, Timmy. Nothing but names and players and where we see. I mean, this is good stuff, man. I think we are covering a lot of ground here, and I think I'm really proud of that. We're giving people really good advice here.
I hope so, Rich. And if not, we will definitely fess up to it sometime around August. How does that sound?
All right.
I think one of the keys with pitching is, and compared to hitting, okay, is. We know right now today that there are going to be options on the waiver wire the first month of the season as far as starting pitching is concerned. There are going to be pitchers that come out of absolutely nowhere that are going to get on a roll and they're going to pitch lights out. We're not going to see that with hitting. So I think when you're building your draft and constructing your team at the draft, I think that's something that you should take into consideration because – there will be pitchers there. You will be able to upgrade your pitching staff, no doubt in my mind.
So, Timmy, let's. I mean, we talked about those top 10 guys. You made me stop at Noah Syndergaard to have the best chance to break into that top 8 this time next year. We're going to be calling their name out. Who's it going to be?
Well, if I'm looking at it, I'm going with Trevor Bauer.
Okay.
How can I not go with Trevor Bauer, Rich? How can I?
Okay. Okay. So that's not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. So that is not going to happen. I'm going to give you a guy for a steak and liquor bet. I'm down around Trevor Bauer that they'll have. I'm going to say that David Price earns more value than Trevor Bauer does this year.
Medium rare, please. I'll even have some veggies on the side, Rich. I'm eating better these days. I'll eat my vegetables this time.
Okay, Timmy. I got David Price, got Trevor Bauer. I mean, Timmy loves him some Trevor Bauer. So my guy, I think, who has a chance to really step into that, if I'm going to dig a little bit deeper, I think Ohtani has that chance to, I believe he's got the stuff. He has a chance to become the elite player. And I think two other guys that are right around that area, Jameson Taillon and Taiwan Walker, those have been always well thought of prospects. And I think two guys that can make huge leaps. So I'm going to go with one of those three guys as a chance a little bit further down, a chance of breaking into that top 10 or that top 8.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that assessment at all. They all have that potential. A guy that I have a sneaky little man crush on is in San Diego, and that's Denelson Lamet. And he could take a big step up this year as well.
I own Denelson Lamet, and I think every dynasty league at some point last year, and I own him on no teams this year, Timmy, and it's just bad management. Bad management. Because he was so erratic. I loved the stuff.
Yep.
I believed in it because I saw him in the minor leagues, but I just got cold feet and I don't own him.
Yeah, I he could be one of those pitchers where the weight ends up being worth it, Rich.
Yeah.
Much the same as, I'm not saying he eats Taijuan Walker, but again, it's the same sort of situation where, let's face it, a lot of people have given up on Taijuan Walker over the past 3-4 years, haven't they?
Give me a couple of three pitchers, Timmy, that you just want on your team this year.
That I want on my team?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Did I mention that I like Trevor Bauer? No, just kidding,
yeah,
Rich. Just kidding.
No. I think that's one. That can be one.
Now, going down the list a little bit further, Blake Snell. Blake Snell has always fascinated me. I think if he harnesses and shows that he's got his control issues under control, I think Blake Snell is one. Aaron Sanchez, again, the blister issue is gone and clearly in the rearview mirror, Aaron Sanchez could be a very, very good pitcher this year. And then after that, I've already mentioned the rookies that I like and the young pitchers, but I'm going to throw Lucas Giolito in there because he's not much older than the rest of those guys. And Giolito showed something, I think, at the end of last season, and I wouldn't be surprised if he shows even more this year.
No, I've always been a big fan of Lucas Giolito. Really nice delivery, so good stuff there. I agree with you on Aaron Sanchez would have been one of my guys. I'm going to reach way down, Timmy, and a guy that I will criticize you a little bit on. I mean, it's your list. I didn't do the list, so I could take pot shots at it. It's really not fair, but, Tim, what is fair? Right, so
there is a very, very individual focused sort of thing. It's sort of like all about me, right?
That's right. I love Luis Gohara, the young man out of Brazil. I think it's Brazil. I can't remember the name escaped. Anyway, with Atlanta now, and Timmy, you don't like him. You got him 132. The NFBC has him at 77. Really, really good stuff. And I think, I don't know if it's this year, but in the next couple of 3 years, this is going to be a guy that people need to take note of. This guy's got a live arm pitching in a pretty good ballpark. So Luis Gohara, Timmy, I'm a big fan of his.
And you know what? I probably have him too low. If I had to do this over again and make some adjustments, I would move Gohara up. The reason that I have him down in the first place is because I think there's going to be playing time question marks. He's the number six guy right now, I think, in Atlanta. And there's a whole host of kids. So I just don't know where Gohara is going to fit into the big scheme of things in Atlanta.
He is from, first, I'm happy that he is from Brazil, so I got that one right. Yeah, so we're looking at Julio Teheran, Mike Foltynewicz, who's just not developed, Timmy, just not developed. Brandon McCarthy, I think if healthy, definitely going to see starts. Sean Newcomb, Timmy, I don't know, Scott Kazmir, when's the last time he's pitched? And then you got Luis Gohara. I think he gets time, buddy. I think he gets time.
Yeah, and he could very well, and I could be wrong. One pitcher I forgot to mention that I own virtually everywhere, and I got to give a cheap plug for this guy, but all the cool kids want Chad on their team, Rich. Chad Cool. He is moving onwards and upwards.
It's not a horrible thing to me. I mean, he's 91, and NFBC has a 109, so you're somewhat in line down there. It's right next to Joe Musgrove. Musgrove always had Cool. I mean, it's a guy with a pretty good arm, and, you know, not a bad 4 or 5 start on your fantasy team. I think he could become that.
Yeah, it's just somebody that I've liked for a long time. I'd be very remiss if I didn't throw my Chad Cool plug in there, Rich.
What about a veteran, Timmy, that, you know, that we're looking at this? I'll give you a few minutes. I'll talk a minute as you glance through the list because I didn't give you this. That's way down on there that you feel like maybe has a chance to come back and get the Matt Harvey at 110. Even Nate Evaldi, who I like, I've taken him in a couple of Dynasty League redraft leagues where I think there could be something there. So kind of in that realm, Marcus Estrada sitting at 85, CeCe Sabathia at 89, had a pretty good year last year. any of those players or others, Timmy, that are down lower that have, you know, got some mileage on them, that could be the Gio Gonzalez of this year?
Well, Mike Leake in Seattle. The park's right. We've seen success out of him before. I wouldn't be totally shocked if Mike Leake had a good run at some point in time. Here's a name for all time. Matt Harvey, Rich. Would it be totally ridiculous to say that he goes on a 10-game run and actually looks like Matt Harvey again?
Yeah, that's a great question, Timmy. I don't think anybody listening to this podcast, you or me, has that answer. We just don't know. I mean, who is Matt Harvey? I mean, is he going to be the guy that shot all his bullets in the first 4 years of his career and just, you know, the thoracic syndrome just did him in and he's never going to be that? Or is the arm still there and all of a sudden he figures it out and, you know, and all of a sudden turns back into 80 to 90% of Matt Harvey? If he does, Timmy, yeah, he's going undrafted in a lot of leagues. He's going to return value. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, here's another name for you, Rich. And he has looked very, very good this spring. Granted, it's spring, but Homer Bailey, you know, he's not being drafted. And there's a reason for it. We saw Homer Bailey last year. But Homer Bailey has also enjoyed some very, very good years. It's not out of the realm of possibility that Homer Bailey steps his game up and could possibly return value. And I'm not saying draft him.
I drafted him on NFBC team, so I definitely have a share in. I have a couple of shares. I have a couple of dynasty leagues that I've just been waiting for him to return, and I think that's an outstanding call. And the reason I think it's outstanding is the guy that struggled to come back from Tommy John surgery, but pre-Tommy John surgery, he was really, really good. And if he can return, it's been the control. And if that control returns, which is a big if, you know, he could be some. He's definitely going to be greater than your 184, the NFC 144. He's definitely got enough ability to be well beyond that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be at all shocked to see him on my first waiver wire article. How does that sound, Rich?
I agree with you there. Anybody else, Timmy, that you want to shout out here? Because we're going to start wrapping up, just another name or two that you like more than others. Off the one, as you're thinking, Seth Lugo sitting all the way down at 138, 149, the NFC. So you got him about where he is. I think the kid can pitch. Had a barking elbow last year, and I think that set him back. A really nice little pitcher. And one above that at 137 is Jake Junis sitting in Kansas City, a guy who had go take a look at some of his outings last year, really, really strong on some of his outings, and no one is thinking about this guy. So, to me, I like those two guys sitting fairly late.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely potential. Here's a name that I like for the second half, because I think in Minnesota, they have the offense. Okay, there's no doubt they've got enough O. The pitching's a bit of a mess. And I wouldn't be at all shocked to see Fernando Romero up in the second half. And in a deeper redraft league, I might be prone to stashing him on my bench, depending on how many bench slots I had. Definitely somebody to watch in the first month, month and a half in the minor.
I'm a huge fan of Fernando Romero, Timmy. I ranked him high from a scouting standpoint for a couple of years. In fact, I think I was on him earlier than a lot of other people were on him. What I worry about with Minnesota is the Jose Berrios, or Berrios. I forgot how they're saying his name now.
Right.
Remember a couple of years ago, it's like, what's he doing in the minor leagues? What's he doing in the minor leagues? And they just would not bring him up. And that kind of still sticks in me. Like, are they not promoting these guys fast enough? And I wonder if the same thing will happen with Romero.
Well, yeah, and when they did bring Berrios up, he was very disappointing, wasn't he?
That's
right.
He struggled. But the next year, which was last year, he finally started to put stuff together. I mean, to me, at some point, these guys will fail. I mean, most people just don't come up and pitch lights out. I mean, it takes some time to adjust. And, you know, at some point, you got to get on the revolving door and get in.
Yeah, and, you know, it's unfortunate that Forrest Whitley ended up with a suspension, because he was another player. Houston, I believe they said they that he was going to get some starts in the second half. What are your thoughts on Forrest Whitley? Does the suspension put him in a situation where we can pretty well say hasta la vista to 2018, Rich?
I think you see him up in the bullpen. I think he comes up as a August call up. He might even make, if assuming the Astros make the postseason, you could see him on the postseason roster in the bullpen, you know, bringing 100 miles an hour and dominating. And I think, you know, the David Price scenario, that's right. I don't think you see him as a starter though.
Oh, okay. No, I was just curious as to your thoughts on Whitley. Man, that Houston Astros team is stacked, eh? They got a number 3 in Colin McHugh, who's a number 7 on their team.
Yeah, but boy, a little worried about Kenny Giles to me. I mean, again, spring training, just one outing. He got beat up. So,
not the first time, won't be the last. He's of all the closers out there that are ranked in the top 10-15, he is the one that I won't touch with a 10-foot pole. I'm staying right away from Kenny.
I mean, it's fair to me. I've always been a big fan. It's got great stuff. I mean, one of the better fastball slider combinations in there. But when he gets out of sync, it's really, really bad. And we saw it at times last year. We saw it really bad in the month of April the year before that. We saw it last year in the postseason. That was as bad as it got in the World Series, Timmy.
Well, yeah. And you know what? The Astros, they're playing for another title. They will have some patience, but that level of patience, as we saw last year, it's not infinite, is it?
And Scott Boras is sitting there waiting on. He's got him on speed dial with Greg Holland, going, "I got a guy for you." I'm sure after Kenny Giles' first outing, he was on the horn to the Houston Astros brass. How would you like Mr. Holland on your team?
And Houston's GM probably said, yeah, we could take him on a one-year, $6 million deal.
Yeah, probably something like that. Timmy, great stuff. I encourage everybody to go out to our site, Prospect 360. We hit the fantasy link. This is just excellent work that Mr. McLeod has put together. All of his lists are great. I think in particular, his pitching list is fantastic because it is different than where the ADPs are. And while there are 195 names, well, I don't agree with all of them, Timmy. There's no way I can agree with 195 names. You've got some really, really outstanding information here of where guys are going ahead and going below. And I think you're really nailing some of these things. So I applaud you and encourage everybody to go out and take a look at it and use it as your guide, man.
Thanks so much, Rich. I really appreciate the kind words. One of the problems when you get a list like this is you end up looking at it forever and ever and ever, and you tweak and you tweak, and you miss one here, you miss one there. But the fact that there are so many options, and there are more. I didn't nail them all. I don't have one of my favorite deep, 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 deep sleepers in Chironas in Tampa Bay. I don't have him listed. There are more names, but I've tried to provide as many as I can and support some of my arguments and the differences, and at least illustrate where I think there's opportunities. And I think that holds value. So yeah. I encourage as well as you, Rich, people go out, take a look at it. If you're not happy, fire me off an email and we'll talk about it.
And again, Trevor Bauer, David Price, money in the bag. David Price returns more value than Trevor Bauer this year. That's just a gimme, Timmy. Thank you very much for falling into my trap.
I only have two words I can say to that, Rich. Medium, rare.
Okay. Very, 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 very good. Timmy, anything you want to promote where you'll be this week and doing any podcasts, any shows, any drafts where people can go out and take a look at what you're doing?
Yeah, basically this week I'm packing up and getting ready to hit the road. I'm leaving on Friday, Rich, and I'm gone for 5 weeks. And I'm going to do something different because I've never had the opportunity to actually do this, okay? I'm going to send you my schedule. How does that sound?
Well, this is very exciting, Timmy. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I really am. There's a lot of people I'm looking forward to meeting and spending some time in New York and Montreal and Toronto and with my family and my brother and sister-in-law in North Bay and so many friends that I haven't met that I'm looking forward to, Rich. So like I said, it's going to be an exciting time, and I'm really looking forward to it. And as far as the schedule is concerned, have phone, have laptop, we'll travel.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Timmy, hopefully as you're coming across the border, you can help with some of the trade wars that are starting to heat up between our two wonderful countries. So maybe you can resolve that as you're coming across the border.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking that probably won't be a steal. How's that?
It's true. Very, very funny. Maybe you can put some cans of Diet Coke or Cherry Coke and bring just the can back where you can make a mint.
Well, you know, if I can, through saving 3 or 4 aluminum cans, make a difference in the world, okay? I'm all for it, Rich. I'm all in.
Guys, if you want to get a hold of us, obviously out on Twitter, I'm there all the time. I will be traveling to Asia this week, Timmy, so I might be answering people's questions at odd hours. So just know that. Might be a little delayed. But reach out to us, Timmy. I have no baseball stuff going on this week. It's actually my real work going on this week, and then I'll be back at it the week after next. But Timmy, I appreciate you being able to do this late on a Saturday evening, proving once again that you and I have no lives at all. But thank you so much for doing that, and have a great week.
My pleasure, Rich, and looking forward to talking to you from Thunder Bay next Sunday. Be well, my friend.
Be well.